Rob Francis at Dawson with you. Joining us on the line is Senator Linda Wilson from the 17th Legislative District. Senator Wilson is the Republican leader on the Ways and Means Committee, also a part of the Business, Financial Services, and Trade Committee, the Joint Committee on Veterans and Military Affairs, and also on the Joint Legislative Audit and Review Committee, and a member of the State Building Code Council. You are a busy woman, Senator Wilson.
And since I took on this new role, I have a lot more committees that I found out I'm on.
Well, we appreciate your time this afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us. Let's start with, well, the committee that you are the Republican leader on, and that is Ways and Means. We know that House Republicans put out their budget the other day, and no new taxes, cutting taxes, being able to work within means, so on and so forth. The response that we saw from the other side, which is usually the response we get from the other side, is how do you expect to pay for all this without raising taxes? Mm-hmm. Well, if I remember correctly, and tell me if I'm wrong here, Senator Wilson, since recreational marijuana passed, each budget forecast has actually been surpassed. The forecasted budget has actually been lower than what the revenues yielded. So that would say that we don't need to raise taxes. But what is the onus for continuing to try and pull more money away from Washingtonians when it seems that we have plenty?
Well, that's a good question. It's always about what they want to fund it with. And, you know, when you talk about the carbon tax, they've gone back and forth, haven't been able to get it through their own caucus. But, you know, they want to add that to the gas tax or to fund transportation or that kind of thing. Same with the low carbon fuel standards. It's just one of those things where, well, and quite frankly, I mean, if you want to go to, let's talk about the capital gains income tax, it's because they want an income tax in the state, a full-on income tax, right? Because they know that if they get this bill through, then they have the structure set up already to impose an income tax. And so I think that's the goal, because they talk about it being a regressive tax structure versus progressive tax structure, and they think that an income tax will do that. And, of course, they're saying that this is an excise tax to get it through, but they also know that it's going to go straight to the courts. So, it's just making sure that those structures are in there so that they can, you know, it's always, they just want more money, more revenue. And they have a lot of programs that they want to fund. And so, you know, we didn't do that in our budget.
You know, it's interesting that you brought that up, Senator Wilson, about the regressive versus progressive structure, because it's the tax structure apparently does seem to work really well for the state's coffers. In fact, the Pew Research Center put out a study yesterday that went through the second quarter of 2020, you know, in the pandemic of the fiscal year, and Washington State was number 2 out of 50 states. They were one of only 8 that had an actual profit, that had tax revenue above the break-even mark. Idaho was number 1, Washington State was number 2. So such a regressive tax system is actually filling the coffers quite well for Democrats. It seems that they want to continue to put the hurt on instead of take the foot off the pedal.
Well, that's just something that we see all the time. That's why I went out. That's why I decided to do this budget, so that we could show that we could keep everything at maintenance level. So, you know, and we're not cutting any programs, and we didn't raise any taxes, and we funded some really good things. And it was the budget for the times, right? So we were looking at the effects of the pandemic on our struggling businesses and our struggling families. So that's why I think it's going to be harder for them to go out and say, yeah, we have to have taxes, because we've already shown them we don't need them.
We're talking with Senator Linda Wilson from the 17th Legislative District here on The Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA.
Senator Wilson, you have been the primary sponsor on 11 bills in Olympia this session. All but one have been stuck in committee, although a couple of them looks like they might get at least discussed in the executive session level. I want to talk to you about the one that has at least cleared the Senate and is now on the House side, and that's concerning fire protection districts and education. Mm-hmm. Not a very you know, not a very divisive issue, I would think, and that's why it did clear the Senate unanimously. Tell us a little bit about the onus on that one, where that came from.
Well, it was my Clark County Fire District that came to me and said that after 20 years of them doing safety classes, the state auditor came in and said, yeah, you're not authorized to do that. And so they said in statute, you could not do it. And so, you know, our cities and our citizens down here, they take those classes. And it basically is things that concern fire districts and the knowledge of making people safer. And so I just ran the bill because he came to me and said, we need to apparently put this into statute. So costs would triple if they had to go, you know, our cities and all that had to go somewhere else to get these classes. And, you know, it's a common sense thing. So pretty simple bill. Like you said, it sailed through pretty easily. But I'm happy to do it because, you know, it makes a lot of sense.
Well, we talked to a lot of our listeners are very frustrated, as I'm sure many of your constituents are in the rural part of Clark County. You know, the makeup of the legislature, the divisiveness, and it doesn't seem as though the Republican elected officials are heard from, let alone included in much of the discussion, what's going on in Olympia and, you know, governing our state. You've got a number of bills, as I mentioned, that are stuck in committee, and a lot of them are things that I think a lot of people around here would also be for at least discussing, and that's gubernatorial emergencies. We know what has happened in the last year. You talk about title-only bills, you know, transparency issues, and certainly taxes. All those things are not even, you know, getting a look at the committee right. level. And so we know that the people, the constituents, you know, Republican constituents primarily throughout the state feel like their voice is not heard. What's it like to be an elected official sent there to do the people's business and running into that same wall?
Oh my gosh, it's so frustrating. I mean, you know, when this pandemic started, it was like, holy cow, nobody knew what to do with it. And so we all rolled with it. And then as it proceeded, it was like, but we wrote like, you know, 25 letters to the governor, and we got no response, just no response. I think he responded to one, you know, ways down the line. But it was all about, you know, trying to get our people back to work and the way that the shutdown was done and how we had to fight for construction to get back open. And, you know, I mean, it's a constant thing that we have to argue for, like exactly like your Tri-Cities area when you were left out of the reopening of, again, phase two. It's very frustrating when we have no say. And, you know, we line up calls and it's just patronizing. You know, it's very frustrating because our constituents as well call us or email us and say, please, what are you doing? Can you do anything? And it's like, they think we can't, they want us to, but we just have no voice. And that's why I ran that emergency orders bill, is because we had no voice and it seemed like an easier thing to do. We're not taking away the powers of the governor to declare an emergency. All we want to do is be at the table and have a discussion. What is it? Two heads are better than one. Well, we have 147 of us that really have good ideas and good, you know, suggestions and opinions, and they're not being heard. So it is very frustrating. And, you know, it just, we have to change the numbers in the legislature. That's really where we're at.
Easier said than done. That is for sure.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
We're talking with Senator Linda Wilson, 17th Legislative District of rural Clark County, here on the Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA.
So, Senator Wilson, as we talk about the current situation, there is a lot of frustration, particularly over on the eastern side of the state, which I'm sure you're well aware of. We don't know what's coming next. There's been no intimation from the governor or his office about a next phase. There is no phase 2.5, no phase 3, no phase 4, no end in sight. And it doesn't seem that there's a plan for it. Has there been discussion in the Senate caucus or amongst House and Senate Republicans about putting their own plan together and making it public to really lay out the fact that there are options here, that even taking the metrics, even taking different elements and aspects of understanding this pandemic and the coronavirus and so on and so forth, that you can put something together in place, put a set of metrics together that can continue to move the state forward and give people their lives back?
Well, you know, in different areas, we haven't gone full on plan, but there's been different areas like we did with the emergency order bill. And then we had the reopening of the school bill. And then we had the reopening of the businesses back to 25%, which, by the way, most businesses can't make any money at 25% open, particularly restaurants. So, but we've done that to make and have to figure out good ways to get that out there, because we have less of a microphone because we're not out there all the time, and it was really difficult during the interim. But when you have the, let's say, the Senate Bill 5114, that's the one to get the everyone open, the businesses open at 25%. And so we had to go to the ninth order in the Senate on the floor in order to pull that bill out of committee and try to talk about it. But then they voted it that we could not vote on the bill. And we did that three times, I think, before anything was opened, before it was reopened. That's just, I mean, that's how we are able to get our word out, is to, you know, try to come up with different strategies, I guess, like that. Same thing with the schools. Now, we are talking to the governor, because the governor now does seem to want to be opening schools up. And so we're talking to him about maybe the metrics, because the CDC has also said we don't, you know, you don't need vaccinations to get back to school safely. It's been shown across the country. So here we are. And so it's coming around at how we've thought for months. I mean, there's schools in the Spokane area that have been open since August and doing very well. And the virus isn't running rampant over there. So there, that's how we are able to get our plans out there. And there may be more plans to do more of that type of thing, but right now we're doing what we can.
Well, that whole school situation, Senator Wilson, smells a lot like special interests.
Yeah. Well, we've certainly heard that before. And yeah, I agree.